in order to remove the Aramaic obia. That's a word that I just coined, meaning fear of Aramaic. Now, as I pointed out last week, what we're going to do is there are a number of very important parts of davening and zmirot that are in Aramaic. Today I've given you Yoribon Olam, and we're going to see how many words you will be able to find in this Koribon that we have already had and that we're going to have. After that, we're going to deal with, we'll give you Brich Shmei, so you'll be able to figure out what Brich Shmei is. And then, if you really move up in the world, it'll be Askinu Tzedasa. But at the same time, we also have to follow the story. Where we are up to right now in the story, and we're going to take a look at some of the words in a little while, where we're up to in the story now, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, in the second year after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, he has a dream, and he's frightened, and he trembles, and his heart is beating very quickly. He doesn't remember the dream. So he calls upon all of the wise men of Babel that they should interpret, tell him the dream and interpret it. And since nobody is able to do it, he issues an edict to destroy all of the wise men of Babel. In the meantime, Daniel and his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are also slated to be executed. They are slated to be destroyed, so he asks, the fellow in charge is Arioch. Arioch is the executioner. Daniel tells Arioch that, listen, give me time, and maybe I will be able to do what the king wants. He prays, and he calls upon his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, that they should pray, and finally God reveals them the dream and its interpretation. So he comes to Arioch, and he tells Arioch, let's start with Pasuk 24. Kol kovel denov, because of this, once he had prayed, and he was answered, Daniel al Arioch. Daniel went to Arioch, dimani malka, whom the king appointed, lahovada, to destroy, la'abed, right, we said, to destroy Lechakimei Babel, the wise men of Babel, Azal, he went, Vechein Amarle, and he said to him, Lechakimei Babel al Tahovad, these are the words of Daniel to Aryeh. The wise men of Babel you should not destroy, Ha'alni, bring me up, Kata Malka before the king, Upishida Lemalka Achava, and I will tell the king the interpretation of the dream. The word Achava in a number of forms has already appeared up until now. To tell, to relate. It is the king who asks that they should tell him the dream. In Pasuk Yud it said the Ano Kazdaya Kada Malka Vyamin, the Kazdim answered before the king and said, Lo ita enosh al yabeshta, there is no person upon the face of this earth, the Milat Malka Yuchal HaKavaya, who will be able to tell the king what it is that he asks. Yoribon Olam Valmaya, Antu Malka, you are the king, Melech Malchaya, the king of all kings. Ovad Gevurtech, the great things that you do, Vitimhaya, your wonders, and we're going to come, the word Timhaya is going to appear, Shvar Kogamach, Lahakavaya, it's beautiful before you to relate, to tell. Lahakavot means, and we have it in Hebrew also, Yechaveh Da'at Lechavot De'ah. So here he says, so, okay, at least we made use of the sheets, now we can go back to the... all right.
Why did Daniel stick out his neck?
What did you do?
Because he didn't want to stick out his neck for the executioner. He was also slated for destruction. He, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they were all slated to be destroyed. It was self-preservation. Self-preservation. But it's interesting, when he says, in Pasuk 24, when he says, do not destroy the wise men of Babel, is this sort of, you know, sort of being patronizing, and he wants to leave the impression that he's a big Babylonian liberal who is concerned about all the wise men of Babel, for whom personally I don't think he has any respect whatsoever. Instead of saying, well, listen, don't kill me and my friends, and I'm doing this for the greater glory of Babel, that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that Daniel is indeed a passionate and concerned individual. He does not want to see the destruction of the wise men of Babel. And it's not simply a statement that he says in order to look good in the eyes of the Goyim. Personally, I believe the second is the correct way to look at Daniel. Daniel is truth all the way. There's no guile about Daniel. I therefore don't believe that Daniel is, wants to find favor in the eyes of the Babylonians. He says, "Halt! Don't destroy the wise men of Babel." No, I don't think that that's what he means. And we may be able to prove that Daniel is absolutely guileless. There are moments that he's going to have to say very difficult things, and he's going to say it straight. Now, watch. A dayin then, aryoch behit boholof. This word is terribly important. Then aryoch behit boholof. Behit boholof means with haste, quickly. Second, we mentioned that we had the word earlier, and it's in Megillat Esther, the second day, when Haman is invited for the second party. The day of the second party is the day that he's been taking Mordechai through the streets of Shushan, saying, so shall be done to the man whom the king wishes to honor. And he came home exhausted and upset. He wasn't ready for the party, but the officers of Ahasuerus and Esther came vayavhilu, and they hastened lahavi et Haman. When Jews go out of Egypt, it says kibichipazon. They went out in haste or quickly. Maybe haste is not the word to use, because haste has a negative connotation. Quickly. Things are moving swiftly, and it's terribly important to understand that in this word we are getting much more than a description of what's taking place over here. What we have over here is a description of how God works in this world. Just as when Jews are removed, are taken out of Egypt, why is it the chipazon with haste? And the Targum Onkelos over there, which is of course Aramaic, translates b'chipazon b'hit b'holu b'behala. They are taken out because when God decides to bring salvation, it comes immediately, swiftly. Yeshuat Hashem, the salvation of God, kehedef ayin, an eigenblick, the blink of an eye. In other words, this is the moment at which Daniel is going to rise to greatness. It's going to happen now. Do you know where else it happens? When Paro has a dream, and the butler finally says that there was a young Hebrew slave. It says, Vayiritzuhu min habor. Yosef, Vayiritzuhu means they hurried him out of the pit. In order to bring him before Paro, they cleaned him up, they washed him up, and they brought him before Paro. Zayiritzuhu. And it always indicates this is the moment that the Rebbeinu Shem wants, that Yosef is going to rise to greatness. That moment dare not be delayed. So it's much more than a description of how Aryoch feels about it. This is it. The stage is set. The Rebbeinu Shlom is acting, and when the Rebbeinu Shlom acts, it happens quickly, swiftly, decisively. Then, with haste, Hanal l'Daniel katam malko. He brought up Daniel before the king. V'chein amarle. And so he said to him. Listen what Ariel, how he presents him. V'haskachat gvar. A man has been found. Min b'nei geluta d'Yehud. From the exile of Judea. The word gvar, of course, aside from the fact that you have it, Geber, you know, Geber, Gevarim. All right, we have it. So it's not. Lu yichye Gevar shemin alfin. If a man would live for 1,000 years, but we know there's Gevarim. Gevarim means man. Comes from the Aramaic. He says a man has been found from the exile of Yehud, the Pishra. Lemalta Yahuda, that will tell the king the interpretation of the dream. Now, isn't this strange? He seems to be leaving the impression as though there was this unknown Daniel, and all of a sudden, you know, he's patting himself on the back and he's taking credit. He's taking credit. Eureka! I found Daniel. What do you mean he found Daniel? Daniel had been brought to the palace of. Nebuchadnezzar when he was yet a child.
He hadn't found Daniel.
And he's not the one who found Daniel, but it seems on the one hand, yes, he may very well want to be taking the credit. There's something else that we have to in this description, and this I pointed out last week, that makes no difference how long the Jews are going to remain in Babel. They're still going to be the outsiders. You have the same description in Megillat Esther. Ish Yehudi Hoyo B'Shushan Abiru. There was a Jew in Shushan Abiru whose name was Mordechai Ben Yoy Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ishimini. And if you want to describe what he was, he was from the Golan. He was from the exiles. In other words, Daniel's grandchildren most probably are going to be speaking Aramaic without an accent. And they're still going to be looked upon as the Min Galuta the Yehud, from the exile of your hood. Similar to, of course, the Sar Hamashkin, who talks about the Hebrew boy, the Hebrew slave that was with us. Huh? Nar Ivri, Eved. An Eved he was. All right. Onei Malka Bavala Daniel Malka, the king, the king answered, or the word Onei also can mean just to raise his voice and say, Vamala Daniel. He said to Daniel, his name was Belshazzar. Ha'itach kahel lahoda utani chelma dichazit ufisher. I'm going to take out one moment. I forget things too. This shear, by the way, the shear up until now, until the end of the shear, it's dedicated in memory of Yechiel ben Avraham Yitzchak, whose yahrzeit will be this coming week. When is it going to be? Motzei Shabbat, Sunday. Father of Jackie Kremena. So the learning is in his memory. Okay, we forget things. When you reach past 40, you know what it's like already. All right. I'm sorry. Ani Malkovar Daniel, the king answered and he said to Daniel, Dishmei Belshazzar, whose name is Belshazzar. It's going to be interesting to see how he is. How he's described by his Hebrew name and by his Babylonian name. The Babylonian name, of course, is the one that was given to him by Nebuchadnezzar. Ha'itoch kohel lahuta utni chelma bichazeit ufishrei. Ha'itoch kohel. Are you able to? Kohel, if you think of the word yachol, also has a number of the same letters. Can you? Is it possible for you? Lahoda utani, to let me know. Chelma di chazet, the dream that I saw, ufishrei, and its interpretation. Onei Daniel kada malka v'yama. Daniel answered before the king and he said, Raza di malka shael, Raza. So if you daven Svarad, of course, you say Raza the Shabbos. Raza is the secret. Raza di Malka Sha'el, the secret that the king has asked for. La Chakimin, Oshvin, Khartumin, Gazvin, Yachlin, La Chavaya, La Malka. Neither the wise men, nor the sorcerers, nor the magicians, nor the Gazvin. He is listing the four great wise men, kinds of wise men of Babel. Gazrin, by the way, it comes from the word Gezerah, decree. Those are astrologers. They decree what will happen by virtue of date of birth, the movement of the stars in the heaven. So he says, you should know that the secret of that the king has asked for, neither the wise men, nor the magicians, nor the sorcerers, nor the astrologers. Yochlin lahachavaya. The word lahachavaya you should know already. This should be part of your vocabulary. Yochlin lahachavaya lamachal. They cannot tell the king. Biram, however, and of course, as you hear this, you must inevitably make the comparison with Yosef. I mean, it's Yosef all over again. Biram, however, ita elo bishmaya, there is a God in heaven, gore rozin, who reveals secrets. Who megale et harazim, he reveals secrets. Vahot alimalka Nebuchadnezzar. And this God in heaven has told, let it be known to King Nebuchadnezzar, ma dilehever ba'acharit yomayu, what is going to happen at the end of days. I have a feeling that over here yomayu, acharit yomayu means after him. Acharit yomayu can mean the very ultimate end of history, or it can mean a less ultimate end of history, but to tell Nebuchadnezzar what's going to happen after your time. Chelmach, your dream. The Chesvei Reishach, Al Mishkavach, Chesvei Reishach, what your head has seen. Chesvei comes from the word Chizayon, or Chazon. What your head has seen, Al Mishkavach, on your bed, Dinohu, this is what it is. Anta Malka. Why don't we have that? Anta Malka. Melech Mashiach. Okay. Yo. Malka, king. Rayonach al Mishkevach Siliku. Rayonach al Mishkevach Siliku. Your thoughts. Rayon, of course, is already a Hebrew word as well. Rayonach, your thoughts. Al Mishkevach, on your bed. Siliku came upon you. Modile Heve Acharedana. What is going to be Mashe Yihyeh Acharedana after this? The Gole Raz Rosayo Lahodach Modile Heve, and he has revealed the secrets of what has let you know what is going to be. And here, of course, he really becomes Yosef. Vano and I. Not because I have wisdom that is greater than all living beings. Raza Dino Galili has this been revealed to me. It's not because of my great wisdom, and because of my great wisdom that I have more than all of the wise men of Bala. That's why it was revealed to me. Lahain al divrat bipishra lemalka Yehudun, it's only in order that the interpretation to the king should be made known. The Rayone Livavach Tinto, you should know what the thoughts of your heart are. What he's really telling the king over here is the following. He's leaving the king with the impression that the thoughts of Nebuchadnezzar are so profound, and that he has great concern about what's going to happen after him. And because he is so concerned about what the world is going to look like in the post-Nebuchadnezzar era, and he has such a serious and sincere and a genuine concern, that the Rebbein Shem therefore decides to let him know, because you care so much, I want to let you know. But there's going to be another purpose to the dream. There will be another purpose.
Anta Malka,
you king. By the way, I have the feeling that you're... your blood pressure has gone down. You don't seem to be so concerned. You'll see that it's going to be much easier. Anta Malka, Chazei Havaisa, you king, you saw Va'alu, and behold, Va'alu. Tzlam Chad, Tzlam Chad Tzagi. A Tzlam is a statue, a figure. One, Tzagi, big. Tzalma, Dikain Rav, it is a form or a statue that has great brilliance, Vizive Yatir, and there is a shine that comes from it. That Yatir also means great or large. Ka'im L'Kavlach, Ka'im is standing before you. V'reve b'chil. Reve means its appearance. Its appearance is b'chil, frightening. The word b'chil means to tremble. We have it someplace. We have it, huh? That's a b'chil. Yeah, it's probably from the same word, the scarecrow, and that's why you made a b'chil out of it, so it's like a, not just a scary crow, but b'chil, you're right, is a b'chil mean, but there's someplace, I know it's, alright, it'll come out. So here you see this mighty figure, brilliant light, standing before you, and it's frightening. Hutzalma, this figure, this statue, Reishei Bidahav Tov, the head is Dahav. Yeah, we pointed out already that Dalet and Zion, Dalet in Aramaic is like Zion in Hebrew, so it is Zahav Tov, good gold, that's the head. Chadohi Udraohi, the the chest and the arms. Chest and arms. Chadohi uderaohi dichasaf. Chest, in other words, we're starting with the head. From the head we go to the chest and the arms. Dichasaf are made out of silver. Ma'ohi. Ma'ohi are the innards, the stomach. Me'ayim are the stomach. Viyar chotei and thighs, dinachosh, are made out of copper. Shokohi, the farzel, all right. Well, that, by the way, is of course very important. Beis and pay. In Arabic, also you have the problem of beis and pay. The two of them are interchangeable. Farzel is farzel. You're right. They can't say a P. They can.
By the way, that's why they changed the name of White Plantation to White River. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. That's why they changed White Plantation to White River, because it's Plantation.
The Arabs would have said Plantation.
Plantation. Very interesting.
That's right.
Well, the beast process. Very interesting. I mean, I think they could have changed it to even more.
Yeah.
No White Plantation altogether, but the best thing of it.
They spelled it wrong.
Huh?
It should have been W-H-Y.
It should have been, I tell you, there was probably more takeoffs on this. Alright, at least we choose find a way to laugh, right. Shakohi di farzel, so farzel is farzel. Raglohi, the legs. Minhon di farzel, u minhon di chasaf. Legs, part, are iron, metal. U minhon di chasaf. Now, chasaf is not chasaf at the beginning of the puzzle. In the middle of the puzzle, we have chasaf with a chaf, which means kesef. Chasaf means earthenware. Pottery. Chaspa, a cheres. Chosei Havaita, you saw. Chosei Havaita, you were watching it, or you saw. Adi hid gezeret even until a stone broke out. Gezeret means something that's cut off. Until a stone was cut off, the lobby is dying, and there are no hands doing it, but you see a stone flying, umechot letzalmo al raglohi, and it hit the statue on the leg, the parzel of a chaspa. One of the legs, of course, is a mixture of metal and pottery. Vahadekes himon, and it smashed it completely. Vahadekes, that you should have in Torah also. When Moshe came down from the mountain after they had made the egel, and he took the egel and he chopped it up into small pieces, so the word over there is, what's the exact word, but he hadak, or something of that sort, he okay. Beidayin doku tachada, then they were all crushed. At once, all was crushed. Tachada, parzala, the metal, chaspa, the earth pottery, nechosha, the copper, kaspa, the bahava, the silver, and the gold, all of them. Bahava ku'ur min idrei kayet. And it was like the bran min idrei kayet. So now, first of all, the word kayet. What does the word kayet mean? Summer. And what we're there, it's the tet and the tzaddik that are interchangeable. The Gemara says, shilhi kaita kosha min kaita. Oh, wait, we're getting there. Well, shilhi kaita, my father Marshall always used to like to say that about at this time of the year. The Gemara says, shilhi kaita. Shilhi is also an Aramaic word that's used in modern Hebrew. Shilhi means the end. Shilhi kaita, the end of the summer. Kosha mikaita is more difficult than the whole summer itself. In other words, you know, when there's a hit chamamut, as we're going to be going through in the next few days, or what they call in America, most probably a racist statement that most probably should be removed from the English language, Indian summer. Indian summer. I have a sneaky submission. It only occurs to me now that it really is a racist statement. In other words, like, you can't trust Indians, right? You can't trust Indians when you just when you think that the summer is over. There you get another steps of summer. You know? Red man, lie. Kayit is summer. So he says, Vahavokur, one of the pictures of summer that he is painting over here is a picture of the brand or the shaft that is flying through the air at the during the summer. In other words, it's like just this whole mighty structure, this mighty statue has turned into shaft, into bran. It was made of such powerful metals, and it's nothing now. And the great wind, Rucha, carried it. And Chol Atar, we know it, the word Atar. Atar is used in modern Hebrew as a place. A site on the internet is an Atar.
Or a building site.
But you see, I'm one step ahead of you. I already think in computer terms. An Atar. And you'll see, in the Iriya, there is the Va'adat Ha'iturim. That's most probably one of the most important Va'adat, and the first one that I had to present myself to some 14 years ago. The Va'adat Iturim is the Va'adat that decides on sites for public buildings. In other words, they create or they designate the atar for all sorts of needs. The atar lo hishtekach lahon, and no place was found for them. In other words, like they sort of just disappeared. Va'avna dimechot letzalma havat letur rav umelot kol ara. That stone. The Avna, the Eden, the Mechot Litzalma, that smashed the statue, Havat, it became Turav, a big mountain, Umalot Kol Ara, and filled the whole earth. The Nochelma, that's the dream. Upishrei Neymar Kodamalka, and the interpretation we are now going to say before the king. Anta Malka Melech Malchaya. That's not straight Torival. Anta you Malka, King of Kings. The Eloh Shemaya, that the God of Heavens, Malchuta, Chisna, V'Tokfa, V'Yikara, Yehavloch. The God of Heaven has given you Malchuta, kingdom, chisna, also a word that's used in chosen. Chosen is strength. Chosen is strength. I mean, there's the chug haprofesorim lechosen medini v'kalkali. Never heard of it? I mean, that's it's a front organization for an extreme right-wing organization, Professors for a Strong Israel. Chosen, strength. Tokfa, huh? How about the chisun? Not bad.
It's strong, you're immune.
There's the doctor, chisun. That's right, I should have thought of that. Chisun, so really chisun means that which gives strength. I'm just going to have to find the difference between chisna and tokfa. Tokfa. Tokfa is... Karivan. Third paragraph. Ravrevin Ovadoich Vitakifin. Your deeds, God, your deeds are great, Vitakifin and mighty. I think we'll use mighty. Viyakara. Yakara, you have that in there as well. Yakara means that which is precious. You have love. God gave this to you. God gave all of this to you. Ubichol di dorin b'nei anashah. Chevad bora v'ov shemaya yahav biyadach. Ubichol di dorin, wherever dorin, dayorin, women dwells in a dira, and the people who live in the building are the dayarim. Ubichol di dorin, wherever they live, b'nei anashah. People, Chevad Barav V'Ov Shemayo, all of this is in Karivan. There you have second Shvachan Asad Zafra Baram Shalach Alor Kadisha Dibirah Kol Nasha Eden Kadishin. We're going to come to Eden Kadishin later on. And Bnei Enosha, men, Chevad Barav. But I tell you, this Friday night you're going to know what it's all about. Chevad Barah. Chevad is from Chayat. Barah, the beasts or the animals of the field. Barah is the outdoors. And Ofei Shemaya, of course, the fowl, the birds of the heavens. So here, in this pasuk, behold, the dorin, wherever they live, b'nei and nosha, men, chevad barah, the animals of the field, ba'ol shemaya, and the birds of the heavens, yahav b'yadach, he gave it into your hands, v'hashlatach b'chol hon, and he made you the shalit, the ruler over all of them. Unto reisha didhava, you are, in that statue, you are the head of gold.
Somebody has a question.
She needs you to...
She raised her hand and she said,
maybe I didn't want to see. Go ahead. Sarah, go ahead.
Is there any place where the king says, yes, you're right, that's what I grant?
Wait. You see, if I would have not seen her hand until afterwards, the question would have been answered. Yes, wait.
The other question was, who wrote this?
What do you mean, who wrote this? That's a separate question, who wrote this. I never told you who wrote it. I know I didn't tell you who wrote it. But I can give you a one or a few word answer. Ultimately, after all the opinions are cited back and forth, it was Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly, who put together Sefer Daniel. There were parts of Daniel that we're going to come to where Daniel himself says that I wrote this out, I made notes on this, but ultimately all of it put together was done by Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly. This is the governing body of the Jewish people following the return from the Babylonian exile, and we had pointed out that Daniel may very well have been one of the members of the Great Assembly. But again, I wanted to make a whole shiur out of it, and there I just blew a whole shiur by telling you the end of the story. The end of the story. Men of the Great Assembly, because they established the entire, the 24 Kitvei HaKodesh, the 24 books of the Holy Writings. They are the ones who in fact, I don't want to use the word, but like, canonized them. It means, therefore, that Daniel has to be very careful. And when I said that Daniel is honest, remember when he tells him that he is the head of gold of this statue, so for the moment he may feel good, but he already told him what's going to happen to this statue. It's all going to crumble. It's all going to turn to dust. Nothing. Now, of course, what's going to be coming to the fore over here is how Yahdut sees history. And over here, Daniel is seeing history in advance. He's going to be talking about the kingdoms that are going to arise after Nebuchadnezzar, and that they are going to be wiped off the earth like passing shadows. I mean, it's awesome what he's going to be telling us. Let's go further. Ubatrach, and after you, Tukum Malka Ochari, there will arise another kingdom. Ara Minach, worse than yours, weaker than yours. In other words, in terms of might and strength, you are the head of gold. You're the mightiest. There will be another one that's going to take your place, and the one that's going to take your place is going to be lower than you. Ara, if you want to. It's not so much that it comes in part from the word ra. It doesn't sound too good in English, better than you or worse than you. But I think in Hebrew, if you have a table or a chair that doesn't stand straight, do they use the word ru'ah? Shaky? I think there is a word like that, yes?
The weakest part is at the bottom, of course.
It starts progressively. It starts from the top and it's gold, and progressively it becomes a less precious metal. And always it's the mighty empire that stands on very, very weak legs. Very weak legs, of course. And what is each part is going to be another kingdom or an empire that's going to rise upon the ruins of the previous one. So, Batrach, so, Pasuk 39, Batrach, after you to come, Malka Acharo, another kingdom is going to rise, Arominah, weaker than you, Umalcha Tlitoi, a third one. Tlitoi is from Shalosh.
That's the Arabic, the Tilta is three.
Achari, after you, the Chosha that's going to be made out of copper, the Tishlat Bechol Ara, it will rule over the whole world. It will rule over the whole world. Now, I get the feeling that the third is going to be stronger than the second, because by the third,
The third, it says that it will rule over the whole earth. It didn't say that about the second. I can, of course, let you in now and tell you that the second is Persia, but the third is going to be Greece of Alexander the Great. So when we're talking about Alexander the Great, then we are indeed talking about a kingdom that is ruling the known world from, all the way to India. The fourth kingdom is going to be as strong as metal. Now what it seems is this fourth one is going to have strength and might. The fact is, if you're talking in terms of strength, Barzel, metal is stronger than gold, stronger than the others. Kol Kavel, because the Barzel Mahadek v'choshel kola, Barzel crushes and destroys everything. And therefore, just as metal can crush and destroy them all, that's what this fourth kingdom is going to do. When you saw the leg, the foot, and the toes, etzba, the fingers of the leg, minhan chasaf di fechor, minhan parzel, and there some of them were made out of earthenware, out of pottery, di fechor. A fechor is a potter, the kind of earth that is used by a potter, minhan, and some of those toes were parzel, they were made out of metal. Malko peligo teheva. It's going to be a kingdom that's going to be split. What happened after the death of Alexander the Great? His kingdom was divided amongst his generals. Uminitzbeda the Farzalah, Uminitzbeda the Farzalah, from the strength of the metal, Leheveba Kol Pavel the Chazaita Farzalah Ma'arav Bechasach. Tina. So he says it's going to be a divided kingdom, and it will have in it elements of the strength of metal, but this metal is going to be mixed with earth, so that it has basic strength.
I think in earth, the proper word is probably clay.
Clay. Okay. Clay. So in other words, once it splits, there will be strength, but the strength is going to be mixed with internal weakness. It may very well look, the picture that I see before my eyes is Soviet Russia. Presents a picture to the world of mighty strength, but what we don't know is that there's such weakness over there that it will crumble and it will fall. Within a matter of months, it will simply disintegrate. So again, uminitzbeta the farzala lehevibar, it will have the strength of metal in it. Kol kavel the chazaita, as I saw it, because it has parzala, but it's mo'arav, it is mixed b'chasaf tina with the clay of a potter. The etzbat raglaya, and the fingers of the feet minhon. Parzel, minhon chazaf, some are metal and some are clay. Min ktsat malchus of teheve takifa. I think we said tof and shin are interchangeable. Shavir. I think, when you. If you have something that you're putting on the plane, and you tell them, listen, it's fragile, Shavir. It's tavir. Tavir is shavir, it's breakable. V'chazayta parzala ma'arav v'chasaf tina. And you saw that the metal was mixed with this potter's clay.
Mitorvin lehevon bizra alosha, they are going to mix with men. Velo lehevon dovkin dno im dno, they will not dovkin dovek, they will not cling one to another. Heich di farzala lo mitarev im chaspa, just like metal and clay can't mix, so too the fact that some are metal and some of the fingers are metal and some of them are pottered, it means that this kingdom that is going to be divided, they're not going to be able to create any form of unity. Just as those two elements don't mix, they're not going to mix. And in the days of those kings, Yekum Eloshmaya Malko di Laolmin Lotis Chabal Umalchu Sola Am Acharon Lotish Tavik Tadik the Tosef Kol Ilain Malchabasa Vihitukum Laolmaya. I wanted to say it all together now. What he's describing in this passage is that at the ultimate end, there's going to arise the kingdom of heaven that is going to crush them all. And the kingdom of heaven is going to be an eternal one, one that will never be removed. That's the ultimate end of history. There are going to be, there are empires that will come and empires that will go, and upon the ruins of all of them ultimately will be the final empire of all, which is the empire of God. Now I say, Ubiyomehon di Malchaya Inun, and in the days of those kings, Yekim, in other words, the ones at the very end of time, Yekim Eloshmaya Malcho di Laolmin Lotis Chabal. Eloshmaya, the God of heaven, is going to establish a kingdom, di Laolmin, that forever Lotis Chabal will not be destroyed. Mechabel, the word tibchabel is destroy, to destroy, chabalah, chablan, the mishtadah, the army has chablanim. This is a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Umalchuta, and the kingdom, la'am ocharon, to another nation, lo tishtivik, it will not be given over to another nation. And this ultimate kingdom, Tadik, is going to crush the Tosef and destroy Kol Ilein Malchavosa. All of those previous kingdoms are going to be destroyed utterly by this last kingdom. Vehi Tukum Le'ol Maya. And this final kingdom, the kingdom of God, will arise forever and ever after. Kol Kavel Bichazaita. And that you saw. See, he still has to explain one part of the dream, and that's the stone, the rock that comes out and destroys it all. Kol kavel di chazaito, since you saw di mitura, that from a mountain it gezeret even a stone was removed, di lo v'yedayin, and it said over there, there were no hands. V'habekes parzol anachosho chaspo kaspo v'da'ava, and it crushed the metal and the copper and the clay and the silver and the gold. Elor Rav Hodal Malka, the great God has told the king, Modu Lehevi Acharei Dino, what is going to happen after all this? V'yatziv Chelma v'meheman Pishvei. V'yatziv Chelma, Emet V'yatziv, the dream is established, it's correct, umeheman pishvei, and its interpretation is the truth. This is what he tells the king. So I would say on one level he's telling Nebuchadnezzar, God is telling Nebuchadnezzar, I have good news and I have bad news. Yes, you've seen this mighty statue, and you are the head of gold. You're the most precious, the strongest of all of them. But even you have to understand that you are no more than well, clay and the great, mighty, divine potter's hand. Nebuchadnezzar is described by God in Sefer Yeshayahu, Nebuchadnezzar Avdi, my servant Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't realize, and he's still going to have to learn that lesson, he doesn't fully realize it yet. It may seem as though he understands it now, but he does not yet see himself, and this is quite a lesson for him to learn, that he is no more than an instrument in the hands of God. Nebuchadnezzar does not act on his own, and his success on the field of battle is not because of his might and his strength, that is his own, or his great brilliance and his intelligence. Nebuchadnezzar arises as the instrument in the hand of God. He is Nebuchadnezzar Avdi, my servant Nebuchadnezzar. That's what he is. And therefore he has to understand that he has a task that has been set aside for him by God. He has been appointed to do something, and when he, well, let's say when he has outlived his usefulness, I mean, that's a pretty coarse way to say it, when he has outlived his usefulness, then he's going to disappear from the scene. The only, I mean, maybe part of the good news as well is that the kingdoms that are going to come after him are not going to achieve the greatness that he did, but he's here, and he's going to pass from the scene, and he must know that the ultimate greatness is going to be the kingdom of God and the kingdom that will be established by God. That's going to be the ultimate final end of history. I'm not finished yet with chapter 2. But we can finish the text, and that will give us an opportunity to talk a little bit about it now. And then next week, Beitayin, then Malka Nebuchadnezzar Nefal al Ampohi. King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face, which means he prostrated himself. Ulidoniel Sigid. And he bowed before Daniel. Sigid means to bow. And remember that word, because that word appears in Brich Shmei. I'm going to have that in a number of places. Ulidoniel Sigid. He bowed before Daniel. A meal offering, v'nichochim, and incense, omar l'nasochale, he said to Paul, or present before him. In a sense, once they've used the word sigid, to bow, it means that he sees the meal not as a human being, but he sees Daniel as something divine-like, and therefore, since Daniel is divine-like, he is going to offer worship the way he would in before a god. Bane Malkol Daniel, Vama. The king answered Daniel and said, Minkshot, Minkshot. Now that's that word. I should have had Brich Shmei for you today too, but I don't want to overburden you. Reisik Shot and Yot Shot and everybody's Shot. The word Shot appears 3-4 times in Brich Shmei. Shot means truth. Shot, truth. Min Shot, in truth. The Elohachon, your God, who Eloah Elohim, he is the God of gods. Umare Malkin, he is the master of kings. Vegole Rosin, and reveals secrets. Diyechelta Lemigle Rosa Dena, that you are able to reveal this secret is clearly an indication to me that your God, the God of heaven, is the God of all gods and the master of all kings and the one who reveals secrets. Adayin. Then Malko, the king, Lidoniel Rabbi, he made Daniel Rabbi, he made him great. Umatnon Ravrevon Sagion Yahavle, and many or great gifts. What do we have in the third paragraph of Koribon? Ravrevon. Ravrevin, great are Ovodach, great are your deeds, Vitakifin, and mighty, Ravrevon. So Rav Ravan, Sargin we had before. Remember that the description of the statue was a Tzalam Sagi, something that is mighty and strong. So but he gives him great gifts and big gifts. The Hashlatay al Komedinat Badal, and he made him ruler over all of the Babylonian Empire. Vidav Signin al Kol Hakime Babel, and he made him the master or the chief of officers over all the wise men of Babel. The Daniel Ba'om in Malgar, Daniel does not forget his friends. The Daniel Ba'om in Malgar, the word Ba'om, we had a number of times at the beginning of the chapter. Daniel asked of the king, Umani ala vidita de Medina Bavel, he asked, and it means that God therefore, the king therefore agreed, to appoint ala avidita de Medina Bavel, all the work of the Bavel, Meshadrach, Meshach, David, Nego. His three friends, who are Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, the Daniel, Bitra, Malka. And Daniel remained in the Tra Malka, same term as you have by Mordechai. Mordechai Yosef B'Sha'ar HaMelech, a Tra, Tav Reish Ayin. Now I may be going a little... Sha'ar, if we take the Tav and we change the Tav into a Shin, you really have the letters of Sha'ar a little bit jumbled around over there, but that's what it is. This is the first dream. I think if I'm going to begin to try and explain the dream in its entirety now and but its ramifications, I'm not going to succeed. So what I'm going to do is just take you a little further in text so that we'll for the next 10-15 minutes we'll do some more text and then we'll leave explanation of Yat Hashem for next week. Yes? Is there what? The fourth kingdom, the third kingdom was Greece. No. The first is the head of gold is Nebuchadnezzar. The second is Persia. The third is Greece. And then the fourth is Rome. And with, by the way, this is not the first, the only dream in Sefer Daniel that deals with what are called the Arba Malchiyot, the four kingdoms. The fourth one is Rome. And what it really means, therefore, is Rome and everything that comes from Rome. In other words, in terms of Daniel terms, we are still living in the period of the Fourth Kingdom. It's Rome, Christianity, Islam.
Was it Rome making it to history? And the Fourth Kingdom, the alternative
to. Well, according to Chazal and Daniel, they see... Yeah, I know you're just asking. And since I don't have an answer, I can only deal with the Mefarshim and the Sefer as it is explained by all of the Mefarshim and our rabbis. Our rabbis always refer to anything that comes after Greece, all in one category. The Malchut Harevi'i, the fourth kingdom. And I also want to show you, we're going to see how the fourth kingdom becomes terribly important in our understanding of Hanukkah. It's going to be terribly important in our understanding of the Parshiot of Yaakov in Torah. The fourth kingdom is from the fall, the disintegration of Greece, and further everything. I'll tell you why they have to do it. You know why they have to do it? Because since there are four kingdoms that are described in a number of the dreams, and it's clear, the first one is the one that follows immediately after Nebuchadnezzar. So it's got to be the ones who we are going to read soon are the ones that bring down Nebuchadnezzar. The next one that that rules over the whole earth is obviously because Persia gave way to, fell before Greece, Alexander the Great. Now, since all that's left is only one kingdom, it must of necessity mean from Greece and further until today. And everything is otherwise, you know what they have to do? This guy would have to be dreaming for weeks. Because he'd have to dream, if each kingdom is going to be given first of all, the statue would have to be much bigger.
No, but it's not.
All right, let me do it. Go ahead.
Roman, everything is basically back to their
creed.
I mean, they took their cause, they took their
religion,
their form of government, they took everything. And they basically let it
include.
Okay, but once there was a great
Christianity,
you had the
Argates,
you had the church
control,
and everything that
established
it.
So that's what I'm saying.
And listen,
and then I can tell. All right,
she
says
she has
an answer. Go ahead.
The answer is that the description of the fourth kingdom is the mixture of Barzel and clay, and that nobody gets together, there's no unity, and everything is spread around and weakened. And if you take from Rome until now, this is what's happening.
You hear the point that she's making? The point she's making is that since the fourth kingdom is described as having parts that are strong and parts that are weak, and the two can never join together, that's obviously a description, of really everything that you're saying. It means that this fourth kingdom really has all sorts of elements to it. There are all sorts of parts, and they're split off from one another. They don't mingle. I mean, therefore, it may very well give us every empire all the way down to the Third Reich, to communism, to the United States, a world without unity. You know, you see, according to the Gemara, I think there's another thing. According to the Gemara says that there were a number of kings who ruled over the whole world. And I think the last one who ruled over the whole world was Alexander the Great. After that already, remember, even Rome was no longer a kingdom. There was no, and this the Gemara also says, it did not pass by inheritance from one to the next. Rome, already kings were decided upon by the Senate. It wasn't after the assassination of Julius Caesar, it's not Beno of Julius Caesar who takes the throne. So, it's a what? That's right. And therefore, yes, when there's a split between the Eastern Church and the Western Church, it all. No, what?
After Rome fell, Western Empire, and Byzantine.
Then you have the Byzantine Empire, but no empire anymore became a world empire. The last world empire was Greece. After that, already, it first of all, the world, the inhabited world, is growing bigger. Rome never conquers the whole world, but certainly Alexander the Great held sway over most of the known world at the time. There's no question about it. Except he didn't get to China. He tried. Didn't he try? Was it the Tibetan mountains or something stopped him? But it means Greece represents, by Chazal and in history, the last great world empire. Gemara says about Achav, king of Israel. Achav was a Rasha, was a world conqueror. Sanherib, king of Assyria, ruled over the whole world. It's two things. The world got bigger and the kings got smaller. So therefore that's exactly what happened, and therefore, yeah, so you still had in the 20th century, 2,500 years later, after all of this, more than 2,500 years later, you had a Hitler who indeed wanted to rule over the whole world. And he nearly did it. He made a few blessed divine mistakes. Otherwise, he could very well have nearly accomplished that goal. now, of course, with hindsight, we're able to say that, of course, he couldn't have accomplished that goal, because according to Daniel, there isn't going to be another empire that is going to girdle the whole globe.
Okay.
Yes.
Being like this, it's not like the book I have to do with nothing. I mean, he's dreaming what's coming on up until the ship. So, the fact that he doesn't know here.
Nebuchadnezzar is not a Navi because he doesn't even remember the dream. He doesn't even remember the dream. And listen, what are you going to do with Paro? Paro has a dream about the seven cows and...
about Mashiach. He's going as far...
Yeah, but Nevuah, prophecy means what's going to happen tomorrow. To know with absolute certainty what will be tomorrow. The Gemara says the number of prophets that arose in Israel were double the number of Jews that left Egypt. There were 600,000 Jews that left Egypt. There were 1,200,000 prophets in Israel. However, the Gemara goes on to say, Nevuah shehutzu l'chol hadorot, prophecy that was necessary for all generations, nechteva, was written. Prophecy that was not necessary for all generations wasn't written. For example, and I'm going to give you, of course, an example of one that's written, but you'll understand me in a moment. When Shaul's father loses the donkeys and they go through the land of Benjamin, he and his servant go through the land of Benjamin looking for the donkeys, and they can't find the donkeys until the boy turns to him and he says, you know, there's a seer in a town near here, let's go ask him about the donkeys. And they go to Shaul, to Shmuel, and he doesn't even have a chance to ask him. The truth is, he doesn't have a chance to ask him about the donkeys, because as soon as Shmuel says hello to him, he says, don't worry about the donkeys. The donkeys have been found. But I tell you that story because what it means is a Jew who wanted to know something of a personal nature, in a sense, but there's a light years that separated a person who goes to a Rebbe for a Rebbe. Most probably you'll hear in the next few days, you know, about people who go to holy men and ask them who to vote for. No, that's going to be done. But a Navi. And there were many Nevi'im who told people matters of personal need. This was not... Klal Yisrael didn't have to know that. But any prophecy that has ramifications for all history was written. Means, therefore, of course, that Daniel is terribly, terribly important, because we are going to have tremendous insights into history that come through Daniel. By the way, there's going to be another one of our subjects that we're going to have to talk about, and there is difference of opinion. Was he a prophet? Was Daniel a prophet? Not everybody holds Daniel was a prophet. There are we're going to line up all of the sources on both sides of the of this great divide. In other words, did he have divine inspiration or Ruach HaKodesh? Or is Daniel in the first line with the prophets Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel? And I will show you, both in Talmud and the Drashim, there are opinions of both sorts, and even in the Rishonim, once you get to the Rambam or in the Ruchim and others, there are going to be different opinions as to the status of Daniel. What is his spiritual status? But that's, of course, coming attractions that will come. Did I answer you, or did I simply snow you under, Sarah, like you don't even remember what your question was? Oh, you've been thinking about it all along. So I'm saying Paro was not a prophet. But there are moments at which God, for his own reasons, will tell a non-prophet, send him a message in some way. And over there, what was the purpose of Paro's dream? You know the purpose of Paro's dream? To remove Yosef, not only to remove him from prison, but to remove him from prison in a way that he is going to become the second of the king. Like the exact same thing that happens to Daniel. The parallel, and there are other parallels between Yosef, Paro, Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar. Of course, the last pasuk over here is just as he becomes the second in command to all of Babel, mighty sprawling empire. I don't think we fully appreciate what Daniel's impact and influence was.
And therefore, of course, as I certainly in Daniel's case, according to those who hold that Daniel went on Aliyah, now there are going to be different opinions. Certainly to leave all of that and come on Aliyah is, of course, a great step. There is, of course, another opinion that says that he fell from favor. I think we mentioned it in passing last week. It says that the Esther sent Hatach out to Mordechai, who's walking through the streets of Shushan HaBira. He's walking in sackcloth, and she sends Hatach out with clothing, a change of clothing for Mordechai. So there is one opinion in the Bible that says Hatach is Daniel. Shechotchuhu, they cut him migedulato, for his greatness. You know, not everybody remains great for all time, and from another point of view, sometimes maybe the fact that he was removed from power turned out to be his greatest blessing. So he was free to go on Aliyah. Until that time, in other words, I believe that Munna Shlema that Daniel wanted to go on Aliyah all the time, but as long as he is in power, and it's not personal power, he is able to be somebody who stands up for the Jewish people. So how can he leave them? But what happens if he loses his power? Then he can go on Aliyah. You never know. We've said it before, and it's clear, you never know when a bad thing is a good thing. I was just reading I was reading the Jerusalem Post this morning. Not that I don't know why I was reading it. I don't mean that. You know, the truth is, maybe I don't know why I was reading the Jerusalem Post. But I don't think I ever read the business section. In other words, everything else is so bad that I'm down, before you know it, when things get real bad, I'll start reading the sports section, but I know nothing about sports, I never had any interest in it. But I was reading the business section, and they say that in the world, one of the great mighty powers of the computer world is Eretz Yisrael. And you know what? How it all happened? When America cut off the Lavie project, all funding for the Lavie project, that left tens of thousands of engineers and computer technicians without work. So you know what they did? They went out and created one of the most powerful computer industries in the world. In other words, at the time, I remember, I think it was Moshe Arons and others, everybody was so upset with America. We have to give whoever was the president, then was it Reagan, it's racist, we have to make a testimonial dinner in his honor. In other words, the fact that they cut off all funding for the Lavie created the might and the strength of the of the computer industry here, and it's more than that. It's the description of it is extremely complimentary. I mean, it was a major accomplishment that was done over here. Daniel, according to the opinions that he was removed from power, and by the way, that happens to anybody, you know, in a political world, you never know how long you're going to remain in power. Even though what's unusual about Daniel. And this is going to be fascinating. Daniel is most probably the only holdover of the Babylonian Empire who continues to remain in power when Babel crumbles and falls, and Daryavish and Koresh and Paras and Madai take over. They continue the employment of Daniel. He is the faithful servant, and it makes no difference who is in power. They all need him. And then we're going to see the dreams of others whom he is going to interpret. Yes, last question. We're closing up shop. By the way, I just want to point out, anybody who wants to remain for the next class, it's no charge in the next class. And if there was anything to read on the first page of the Jerusalem Post today, it was, of course, what Rabbi Stuart Weiss had to say about the elections in Ra'anana. He made it into the paper again today, and he says it's a very dirty campaign in Ra'anana. One of the reasons why I didn't run for office in Yerushalayim, in addition to the fact that, of course, politicians come and politicians go.
What did he say about
Rabbi? Wait a minute.
No, I was going to run. And then, but listen, I think my friend, I'm afraid that my friend D'Amato got the works in, he lost. He lost. And I'll tell you, I was one of the first people that brought D'Amato into prominence. In Erev Pesach 1972, when I made an Erev in West Hempstead, the last thing we had to do was buy the city, buy West Hempstead for $24 from the city council. Who was sitting in the Hempstead City Council? The, what did they call the name? The mayor had a different name. Presiding supervisor. The presiding supervisor was Francis Purcell, and the first Sgan mayor was some Alphonse D'Amato. And Alphonse D'Amato is the one who said, you know, Rabbi, we're going to sell you West Hempstead. And I think I gave him a dollar, and I bought West Hempstead. And I knew, I found out later that they had a terrible problem. They didn't know how they were going to put the dollar down, how they were going to put it through the books in the city council. And that held it up for 2 months. How are they going to rent West Hempstead so that Jews can be able to carry on Shabbat? So I thought that the schus of being the first Erev maker, Alphonse D'Amato, would have kept him in office. But you see, politicians come. 18 years. Politicians come. Chaitzim Levin, that's because he helped them. Go ahead. Now your question.
The question is this. In light of what you suggested, that you make Daniel could have been a prophet or possibly not, as he interprets the dream, is that the dream of Armageddon?
No. If you're talking the dream of Armageddon, we're going to have to wait another few dreams. We're going to have to wait. This is really the dream of, what's most important in this dream is what's going to happen after Nebuchadnezzar. But we're not up. Are there going to be frightening dreams that are going to come up? Yes, that's going to be, no. You'll see. There are going to be dreams of other kings, and then there are going to be the second half of Daniel, of Daniel's dreams. That's going to be awesome. So you're just going to have to hang in. I'm going to try and try and do as much as I can, but we're going to move ahead with speed. No, toward the end, it's going to switch back to around chapter 9, 8, 9. It's going to switch back.